Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, that's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, and you can send email messages if you're a little shy, and there are some who are out there. You can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Jam-packed show for you today. Championship weekend in the NFL, and a championship day here on the Go For It. I'm expected to be joined by former NFL safety Benny Thompson, also the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith, and a great actor and a big-time Jets fan, Ruben Santiago Hudson. He plays in the hit show Castle, which airs on ABC. So again, great show, jam-packed, should be a lot of fun, and we look forward to bringing it to you on here today. Jeremy?
Paulie?
How are you?
You know, I'm changing my name for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to New York Yespy is my new name.
Oh, well, it seems like it's kind of common with you. I mean, you're a guy who just follows the waves in a lot of ways.
I followed the wave all season. Let's keep it real. Followed the wave all season.
And it's very evident by what you're saying on here today.
And all the way,
judging by what you're saying, I guess, is that you believe in the New York Jets and you believe that the Jets will go into Pittsburgh for a second time in this season and beat the Steelers. That's kind of where you're going with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that any reasonable person has to start to recognize, too, the Jets right now, they're the team to beat in the NFC, and they're the team to beat in the NFL. I told you that.
Team to beat?
Paul, they're the team to beat. They have their defense is back. It's never going to be to the level it was last year, I think, but their defense is back to the level it needs to be. I think you don't want to see that Jet defense. I think their offense now is smart in terms of an offense the Jets are going to find. They have a lot of weapons. They're two games away, I think, from finding themselves. You look at the Packers who suck, but just they're playing in a week. And
well, no.
Packers suck.
Well, let's
Packers
continue.
Suck. The Packers suck, and I think you know the biggest fraud in the NFL, I'll say, in the last 5 years, basically since the Ravens won on defense, is this year's Chicago Bears team. I mean, their defense is incredible, but their offense is a joke.
Okay, so you're saying that let me address your point step by step. You're saying at this point the Jets are two games away from actually playing the type of football that you expect the Jets play, and that is top-notch football, championship-caliber football, correct? They haven't played their best game yet, is what you're saying.
Well, I think their best game is still ahead of them because I think their quarterback in only his second year – You can't expect the best game of a quarterback to be in less than his second full year. So obviously, no. I think, but I told you, Paul, I drew the comparison 2 weeks ago, and I stand by it. I think Sanchez is a special player. I think you see, especially last week, I think he's going to be a special player at a quarterback position. Yeah, I told you 2 weeks ago, Paul. And look what he did to your boy, New England Paul, touting up the New England Patriots.
NEP, you look a lot better.
Right, NEP, and look what happened to Sanchez, who goes up, and I made the comparison. I compared this modern-day Sanchez to a very young, although not in the same situation, a very young, a very poised Tom Brady. I think that Sanchez's poise is what attracts me. The fact that he's playing in a major market, he's got some talent, he's got a coach who, in my opinion, Paul, the coach trumps everybody. Their coach, aside from being a foot freak, has a big mouth and can certainly, say things and has said things about Sanchez that may have rattled him, but the young guy, he plays his game without excuses.
Okay.
He's not a flashy quarterback, and when you look at Tom Brady,
he's not a flashy quarterback. But and I'll give him credit. I'll say this. I mean, the numbers don't lie in terms of his winning percentage in the playoffs. He's 4-1 in the playoffs, all which are on the road. Impressive, no doubt about it. He's went through Peyton Manning. He's went through Tom Brady. And many say, including you, that he'll go through Big Ben Roethlisberger. The way I look at Mark Sanchez is this. Decent quarterback at this stage of his career, has the potential, and I think he is going to be a very good quarterback in this league. And I think he may be a championship quarterback in this league. But as I speak here today, I don't believe he is where he is going to be. And therefore, everybody talks about this Jets defense. It's good. Everybody talks about how defense wins championships. But you know what? Quarterbacks win championships too. And Ben Roethlisberger, say what you will about his off-the-field stuff. Say what you will about this guy. He has proven that he is a championship-caliber quarterback. He is a tough, gritty, hard-nosed, clutch quarterback. That's what he is, and that's what he's been throughout his career. And that grittiness, that toughness, I think, continues tomorrow. And I think, again, Steelers have a pretty good defense, too. And don't forget, this is not your New England defense. This is not the New England Patriots defense that the Jets are going up against. They are going up against a very good defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So don't forget that. Don't forget that. And another thing I've heard, is also the victory. The Jets went into Pittsburgh and they beat the Steelers 22-17. That was in Week 15. But one key thing you have to understand there. Guess who did not play in that game? Guess who did not play in that football game? The one, the only, All-Pro, All-World safety Troy Polamalu. He didn't play in that particular football game, and he is. Arguably, between him and James Harrison, I would say Polamalu probably is the best player on that defense. And he was out in that particular football game. So with that being said, I expect the Steelers defense to show up, and I expect the Jets defense to show up. But also, these are two tough teams. These are two tough-minded teams. You have to be to go into Indianapolis and New England and win those games. You have to be tough to win those particular football games. And these two teams and the Jets have done that. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have to be tough to come back 21-7 against the Baltimore Ravens. You have to be tough. That's a tough football game. That's a tough football team. You have to be tough to make that type of comeback. And they did it. And I just think right now, the way the Steelers team is playing, and the quarter, it comes down to me it comes down to quarterback play, and I just think, and I thought this throughout the whole season, I don't think Mark Sanchez can make the necessary plays against a top-notch Steelers defense. I don't think he'll get it done. I don't think he can make – he's shown in the past. He has shown in the past, and he's beaten Steelers in Pittsburgh. But do you expect him to do it again? Do you expect him to go into Pittsburgh twice?
But under your assessment, then this is a guy who then can when does a quarterback like Roethlisberger or a quarterback like Manning or a quarterback like NEP's guy, the Tom Brady, when out with the old, in with the new? Does that newer, younger generation have an ability to shine, you know, to have his quote-unquote day in the sun?
Well, again, yes, you're right. I mean, ultimately, there has to be a changing of the guard. But that doesn't mean the changing of the guard has to happen tomorrow. It doesn't mean that the changing of the guard will happen tomorrow, because I don't think it won't. And you're right, at some point it does have to happen. It doesn't necessarily have to happen now. And I just think, I mean, again, 4-1 in the playoffs, impressive. All on the road, impressive. 3 touchdowns last week against New England, impressive. Last drive against the Colts, set up for the field goal, set up for the game-winning field goal, game-winning drive. Again, impressive. But, against the Colts, and the Colts and the New England Patriots don't have the defense that the Pittsburgh Steelers have. They don't have the defense. And this is not your New England Patriots defense. This is a legitimate top-notch defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that'll be key.
Well, I mean, one of us, I guess, always has to choose. The other one that disagrees, I hear your point, Bob, but I vehemently disagree. I think you look at this right now, and that's where you're not. Pittsburgh certainly is going to pose their greatest, to me, their greatest challenge. This is, and I hate to say this, you know, because you don't want the NFL hates to hear this, but and every couple years you do. This is the real Super Bowl this weekend. I mean, the Packers and the Bears, they're not going to, from an overall standpoint, they're not going to be able to beat either one of these ball clubs, period. I mean, period, point blank, actually. So when you see this weekend, if you're a smart team, and I think the Jets are, and notice now, the Jets are certainly not, they're not talking crazy. You know, they're not out there saying how they're going to this and how they're going to that, what's going to where there's going to be problems and when there's going to be issues. If anything, you know, they're trying to stay their course. But if you really look at, again, defense, the Jets have the edge on the defense. Clearly, the Jets have better the Jets have, in my opinion, a much better, stronger defense than the Pittsburgh Steelers. You'll agree with that, right, Paul?
I'm not going to say it's stronger. I'm there comfortable
saying,
defenses.
But who's better? Who's got the edge, defense to defense?
I think it's a wash. I think defensively it's a wash. I really do. Both teams can get pressure on the quarterback, and both teams have playmakers in the secondary. I think it's a wash. I really do. I think it's a wash between these two defenses. And looking at these two defenses, I really think it's a wash. I mean, obviously you disagree.
Well, I'm not, but I don't think, no. I think the Jets have a strong, I mean, if I'm going to be able to take a defense, I'm going to take a defense. And also, that being said, then, I'm going to tell you, you know, I think the overall offense, again, the Jets have the edge. Because
offensively?
overall offense to overall offense, it's, to me, yeah, there's no question. The overall offense of the Jets, I think if you break down certain positions.
I'll say this. I really like the Jets wide receivers and definitely like the tight end. I definitely like their back. Raylan Edwards, Antonio Holmes. Antonio Holmes is a very underrated receiver in my mind. And he's a playmaker.
But keep in mind, that's one of the reasons, that's my ace of Trump. Keep in mind, you know, Antonio Holmes, he was pedigreed by this team. Keep in mind, here's a guy finally on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you look at a guy like a Bart Scott, who certainly can talk the talk and walk the walk. But this is a guy who was turned away from a Steelers team, arguably in his prime. I mean, this man has a lot to prove, Paul, especially to a Ben Roethlisberger.
I understand, but in terms of the Steelers wide receivers, don't discount Hines Ward. Don't discount Mike Wallace. Don't discount. These are some decent wide receivers.
It's not about a discount, but it's head-to-head matchup. I think overall,
Mike Wallace, 60 receptions, over 1,200 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns. Big year. So don't quickly say that the Jets have an advantage in terms of skill positions and in terms of having the better of the two, having the better skill position players. I think in a lot of ways it's a wash. Maybe with the Jets, a slight edge at the tight end position, maybe a slight edge at the running back position. But overall, I'm thinking it's a wash. I really do. But to me, it comes down to quarterback. I said it before, I'll say it again. Defenses win championships. Yes. But quarterback do too. They do too. And I just think, and I've said this throughout this whole year, Mark Sanchez will be a very good quarterback. He will be a very good quarterback in this league. But as I speak today, and I also think he may be a championship quarterback in this league. But as I speak today, he's not. He's none of those things. He's none of those things as I speak today. He's not that guy right now. I just don't see. He's not that guy right now. And I just think.
All right, but Paul, let's look at a couple. All right, so you know that Ben Roethlisberger. We know, and everyone is accepting Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger is a better quarterback, better player than Sanchez. But you're going to sit there and say that Mendenhall is a better running back than Sean Green and LaDainian Tomlinson? Like, I mean, the Steelers look at the offensive line. And you had mentioned the tight end position. If you're going to maybe call the wide receivers washes, and certainly we'll give the edge to Ben Roethlisberger, but let's look at the tight end position far and away, clearing away. I mean, it is the Jets. And the Jets' running game is substantially stronger than the Steelers' running game offensively.
Well, I'm not going to say substantially stronger. I mean, and one of the ways that we can kind of look at it is kind of going back to the last game and looking at what some of these guys did in the last game. And the last time these two teams played, Mendenhall rushed for close to 100 yards in that game, ended up with 99, darn near 100, ran for one touchdown. And on the flip side there, you have the Jets with Tomlinson, 11 carries, 49 yards, over 4 yards a carry. Sean Green, 12 carries, 40 yards. And so, and looking at that, looking at history, I guess, it's showing that, the Steelers had some success on the ground. And the Jets not too far behind. But the Steelers did rush for a total 146 yards, and if you look at how Ben Roethlisberger played in that game, he threw for 264 yards and one touchdown. But again, we're focusing on the run game, and it's focusing on the run game. The Steelers had some effective moments against the Jets in that particular football game.
So, So, but Paul, you're now making, based on that one game comparison, your basis of your argument is that.
No, I'm just looking at history.
But Paul,
I'm just looking at history.
Who has the better running game, the Jets or the Steelers?
I can definitely say I'm going to have to say it's a wash. It's a wash here. It's a wash here. Jets running game has been effective in these playoffs, but I'll say in this particular game, if we're comparing just running, obviously these two teams, or in comparison, comparing running backs, I think in a lot of ways you might have a wash here.
Wow.
LT played well last week. He did play well. Sean Green played well last week as well. But this is a different animal defensively than that New England Patriots team. This is a different animal. This is a whole different
I'm
animal.
I'm going to stop you there. And I'm going to make something very clear right now. And let's say this, and let's keep it real, Paul. Because you know this is probably better than anybody. I mean, to say that, then and there's certainly you're right. But let's look at the fact that very clearly, without question, unequivocally, I don't care how you want to wrap this up. If you're going to look at this Patriot defense in comparison to New England defense was not that far off, and B, but this offense,
but you're not going to compare the Patriots defense to the Steelers defense, are you?
That's what I'm saying to you, Paul. No, I don't. I thought it was inappropriate of you to make that comparison. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Your Patriots defense far and away,
right?
But let's keep it real, Paul. The Jets offense, in certain regards, matches up very nicely against a defense that certainly is able to stop the run. And I know you think the world of Troy Polamalu, and that's great, Paul. But let's keep it real. I mean, they have to cover three wide receivers and a darn good tight end all game. And one of the wide receivers they have to cover, Santonio Holmes, you make mention of. That's a game changer right there, Paul. And certainly, if there's anyone that needs testimony to that, well, why don't we talk to Ben Roethlisberger? Because for years he changed games, you know, for Ben Roethlisberger.
He did, and I said earlier in the show, I believe that Santonio Holmes is a very underrated wide receiver. Has great speed, and he has the ability to make those tough catches. He did it in the Super Bowl for the Steelers, and he did it last week against the Patriots. So ability-wise, he's an underrated wide receiver. I mean, he's a very good wide receiver. I would definitely give you that. But the way I look at this and look at this particular football game, I just think in looking at this Steelers defense, a defense that is 12th against the pass, pretty much middle of the line, first half in terms of the pass, they're a decent team against the pass. They play the pass very well. And also, first game these two teams played, Troy Polamalu did not play. And he's the ultimate game changer on defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a game changer on the defensive side of the football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so he wasn't there the first time around. Second time around, beautiful song, by the way. Second time around, he's here. He's in the mix. And with that being said, he will be a difference maker tomorrow. And I just think that the Steelers will get it done. I just don't believe in Mark Sanchez. I just don't believe in this guy.
You don't have to believe in him, Paul. You don't have to believe in him, but, I mean, you know, at some point you have to recognize that it's not – the world ain't looking for you, and Sanchez ain't looking for you to believe in him. He's there, and you got to deal with it.
Well, Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not, who am I? I mean, I'm not a coach. I mean, I'm not a general manager. You're right. He doesn't have to prove anything to me, but he does have to prove it to his teammates. He does have to prove it on the field that, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in terms of the window for the Jets, I mean, windows close very fast. Windows close very fast. And right now, it's a championship caliber defense. But in terms of the quarterback, and in terms of quarterback play, it's not a championship. He's not a championship caliber quarterback yet. And by time he turns, I mean, by time he turns into a championship quarterback, who's to say the defense will not be? Who's to say the defense is still going to be as good as it is now? I mean, who's to say the defense is still going to be as good as it is now? Windows close very fast in the NFL. Windows close very fast. And the way I look at Mark Sanchez at this point of his career, he's not a championship quarterback. Not yet. Not yet.
So you're not saying yet. This is dead and Paul, and you're making it now. You're coming out and you're saying, then this is the Steelers. Basically, this is the Steelers Super Bowl to lose. Because I'm sure you're also going to then say, if Sanchez isn't a Super Bowl quarterback, then darn sure neither is Jay Cutler.
Well, Jay Cutler, and I'll get to, we'll get to the Bears, but looking at Jay Cutler now, looking at that Chicago Bears team, defensively they're very good. They're very good defensively. And say what you will about Jay Cutler, but in the second half of the season, he has played some very good football. He's played some very good football, and he played very good football last week, accounting for 4 touchdowns, 2 on the ground and 2 in the air. So say what you will about Jay Cutler. I have to say that I'm a believer. I'm a believer and strong-armed, ultra-talented Jay Cutler. I am a believer. So, yes, I believe in Jay Cutler. I definitely believe in Jay Cutler. Now, granted, he's not playing against the Seattle defense this week. He's playing against a very good defense in the Green Bay Packers. They're a very good defense, and he's playing against them this week. But I just like the swagger that he's playing with. I like the swagger that this whole Chicago Bears team is playing with. And they also have home field advantage, which is going to be big as well, which is always big in the playoffs. Not as big as it has been in years past, but I just think Chicago is a team right now. I just like the feel of this team, and I think they're on a roll right now. And Green Bay is also playing very well too, but I just like the way Chicago's playing right now. Well, let's bring in a guy who knows about Super Bowls, a guy who knows about championship games, and a guy who knows about Championship Sunday. And that's the one, the only former Ravens safety, Benny Thompson. Benny, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Benny?
Yes.
Big football tomorrow. I mean,
yes.
Like we said
mm-hmm.
before, this is Championship Sunday.
Right.
Going into a championship game, what is the emotion of a particular player going into such a big football game?
Well, it's very emotional because of the fact that most of the guys know that you either win or you go home, and the winner goes on to win the Super Bowl, go on to play in the Super Bowl. So that's the way the guys have to look at it.
And now, Benny, we want to start with the Bears and the Packers. And right now, looking at Aaron Rodgers, he's a guy that's been off the charts in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
6 touchdowns in the past 2 playoff games, including 366 yards against the Falcons. How great has Aaron Rodgers been in these playoffs?
Oh, you know what? I can honestly say I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I liked it Aaron Rodgers when he came out. They drafted him high in the first round, and he sit, and then he didn't have to come into the league and be thrown in the fire like a Sanchez from the Jets. He came in, and he sit behind who I call God, who is Brett Favre, and he learned from the best. And that's why he plays at the level that he's playing at right now, because he sit and watch the mistakes that Brett made, and he watched and saw what Brett did well compared to what he didn't do well. And now, when his time came, now, which is now, and this is why he is probably playing the greatest football out of all the quarterbacks.
Benny, I don't disagree. I think that of all four of the quarterbacks, aside, I mean, listen, Roethlisberger is certainly one of the premier quarterbacks in,
right.
the quarterbacks in this league. But Aaron Rodgers has certainly, in my opinion, this year, you know, he has stepped in. I think on that level, he's put his first foot forward to be on that elite level. The question, I guess, that remains, though, for him is to be a Roethlisberger, to be mentioned in the Mannings, the Roethlisbergers, the Bradys, in this league, you know, he then has to, I think, have to win the Super Bowl this year. Otherwise, he just continues to be above-average quarterback.
Right.
Like, you know, even if Phillip Rivers.
Right, exactly. And then, and quarterbacks, you know, they get their name from winning Super Bowl. Tom Brady, yeah, and the Peyton Manning, you know, and even the Roethlisberger. But at the same time, that's how those guys make names, by winning Super Bowls. Quarterbacks are no good if you don't win the Super Bowl. And Aaron
like
has not won a Super Bowl yet.
Yes, exactly. And we I said before, defenses win championships, but quarterbacks do too. And we'll see what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table tomorrow. But looking at that Packers defense now, Benny, I mean, they played equally as well, keeping guys like Michael Vick and Matt Ryan. They held them in check for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how good this Packers defense has been in these playoffs.
Well, you got to start with the guy that I think who's probably should be the MVP of the NFL, which they had the last year's MVP is still on that team, and Charles Woodson. And now you got probably the MVP of this year, the linebacker, what's 52, Clayton?
Oh, Clay Matthews.
Yeah, Clay Matthews. Yeah, Matthews. Yeah, who's probably, I think, will probably, should be, if not, the MVP for this year. And so that just shows you that how good their defense is, because they're playing at a very, very high level right now.
And looking at that defense right now, and speaking of defenses, Benny, the last four meetings between the Packers and the Bears defense has limited Aaron Rodgers to three touchdowns and two interceptions.
Right. And you want to know something?
Well,
go ahead.
All right.
Look, I kind of like leaning towards Chicago in this one because of the simple fact that Chicago plays very good defense as well. And the X factor in that game is going to be special teams, who is Devin Hester. So I would have to give the edge to Chicago. Here's what I would do if I was the coach of the Chicago Bears. I would tell Jay Cutler not to go out and lose the game, because my defense and special team is good enough to win the football game. I remember that we did this with Trent Dilfer back in 2000 when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. We just told him, don't you try to win the game. Just don't lose the game, because defense and special teams will win the game. And I see Chicago as being the new Baltimore Ravens back then when they won the Super Bowl.
And one thing I'll say to that, I also think that in making that comparison, I think Chicago, in terms of quarterback play, Jay Cutler, I believe, is better than Trent Dilfer. But like
you
said,
definitely,
will he
definitely?
Yeah. And will he be? He has to. You're saying he has to be the game manager and not necessarily lose the game, but keep them in the game and allow the defense to do what the defense has done throughout the season.
Exactly. You want Cutler to go out and make the throws and do, and basically, like you said, manage the football game. Don't try to do something that you're not you're not comfortable with doing, and don't try to go out and make the big play when the big play is not there. Just keep it to a minimum and just let my defense and my special team win the football game. That's what I would do with Jay Cutler.
Well, but Benny, you bring up an interesting point about, you know, the Ravens that year, and we had just talked about that year in the Ravens with Trent Dilfer and how the locker room kind of said, especially the defense, said maybe for him not losing the game. But how hard is it for an NFL player, starting quarterback on what would be perceived a Super Bowl team, to hear, you know, a defense and a group of defensive players go to a veteran player, and I'll say this because of a Jay Cutler, and say to a Jay Cutler, just don't throw those interceptions. You're known to throw. How does a player hear that and it not take a toll on them emotionally?
Well, no player wants to be the reason why you lose a football game, and if Jay Cutler is smart, he would do like Trent Dilfer. He would listen to a guy like a Ray Lewis would go to Trent and say, Trent, let's just don't lose the game because we're good enough to win the game. And if you're smart like Trent was, he was very smart about it. He did. He took the advice of a Ray Lewis, a Tony Siragusa, and those kind of guys, and he did just what they asked of him. Now, if Cutler, I don't know. Will Cutler do the same thing? I'm not sure.
And you talked about the Bears' defense, Benny, and right now the key to that defense is that front four, led by one and only Julius Peppers.
Right.
How important is that front four for the Bears tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be very important because I've always said football games are won in the trenches, and it's going to be even more so tomorrow due to the fact that if Peppers and them doesn't get to Rodgers, Rodgers will pick them apart. He will pick them apart. You got to get pressure on him or else he will pick you apart. It will be like a 7-on-7 meeting for him.
and definitely. And Rodgers, like I was seeing a stat, Rodgers has 104 quarterback rating against the blitz. So, like you said, I mean, if you blitz this guy, he has the ability to pick you apart.
Yes.
And we talked about Jay Cutler and your opinion of him is basically saying that he needs to be a game manager tomorrow. Throughout these playoffs, Benny, he's been very impressive. I mean, he accounted for two rushing touchdowns and two touchdowns passing, four touchdowns in total. I like his swagger right now.
Well, I got to tell you what, I like his swagger right now as well. But I look at him as a young version of a Brett Favre. You know, Brett could come in and, you know, throw 50 touchdowns. And then Brett can come in and also throw 50 interceptions. And I kind of look at Cutler as being that same way. I mean, Cutler can come in and throw 50 touchdowns. Or either, it all depends on, to me, it would all depends on which Cutler shows up on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely has that potential. I mean, he did throw for four interceptions against the Redskins earlier this year and basically put D'Angelo Hall in the Pro Bowl. Now, Benny, you talked about Devin Hester and him being the X factor in this particular game.
Right.
You know special teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know special teams. And the special teams was very important for the Ravens during their run. Now,
right.
Benny, does Devin Hester, does he make a play tomorrow?
Well, the one thing if I had to talk to the kid, I would tell him, you know, let the play come to you. If it's there, don't you try to overdo it, because when you overdo it, and I'm quite sure he's never been to this level as well, and I'm quite sure he's excited about it. But at the same time, like I said, if I had to talk to Hester, I would say, let the play come to you. Go out like it's just another game, but at the same time, it's the biggest game of your life. But just let the play come to you.
But that's interesting. Certainly, I think, very prudent advice. For a player who I think the NFL is starting to see as a guy who's within an instant in three different dimensions can change a game. And oftentimes, that's how players of Devin Harris's caliber, that's how I think they make their mark, is they don't go out saying, I have to change the game. When you look at, I think Deion Sanders did a very, it was interesting to see Deion Sanders, say he should be in the Hall of Fame and making comparisons, because when you look at Deion, especially in his younger years, that's what he did very well. He let interceptions, he let plays, he turned big plays, into game changers, but he didn't force that on the defense or on the special teams.
Right, right. And I, like I said, too, I think what Devin Hester has to do is just go out and just look at it as, okay, it's just another game. And because I'm sure that field position is going to be in Soldier Field is going to be terrible, and they're talking about not kicking the ball away from him, he's going to have some opportunities, and you just have to take advantage. And I would only suggest to him, take advantage of every chance and every opportunity that you get a chance to.
And now, Benny, we talked about the offense, we talked about defense, and we talked about special teams. Let's get a prediction. Bears or Packers tomorrow?
I like the Bears. I really do. But I think the Packers will prevail. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would have to bet on the Bears. Because, like I said, I love the Bears' defense, and I love the way the Bears' special team play. They have the Jermaine Lewis as a returner. Well, kind of. Sort of. And then you got one. They also have one of the best kickers in the league as well, Robert Gould. So I'm going to go with Chicago because they play good defense and they have a good special team.
And now, Benny, let's move to the AFC, and you know AFC football.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Benny, big game tomorrow, Jets, Steelers. And to me, the key to the game and the key to any game when it comes to the Jets is the play of Mark Sanchez. He's 4-1 in the playoffs, all which have been on the road. He's beaten Manning. He's beaten Brady. Can he pull off the hat trick and beat Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, I think he can, but I'm not and I can also go on the record to say I'm not a big fan of Sanchez because he's one of those guys that were just thrown in the fire. And he's learning on the run, and he's getting better each and every year that he's played quarterback for them. But at the same time, I don't see him being that guy for that next quote-unquote superstar quarterback in the National Football League, meaning winning the Super Bowl for the New York Jets.
And
don't get me wrong, Benny. I don't disagree that comparing a Rodgers situation and a Sanchez situation, I agree with you. I think to sit back and watch for a year for these quarterbacks in today's NFL projects much better for them. But I think Sanchez, in the 2 years that he has been asked to play, has, in the last 5 years in terms of a quarterback, has probably done the most in terms of, especially being in New York, playing under a coach like Rex Ryan, who gets you into trouble with his mouth, has quietly done, I thought, a much better job of not feeding into even Rex's hype earlier in the season when there was talk of maybe him, being benched. I think Sanchez, because of where he played in college, is doing a better job.
I agree.
Paul and I, in terms of Sanchez and his play, have gone way back and forth. I'm a believer in Sanchez mainly for the reason that I think he has earned, especially this season, coming off of last season, to be respected, to have teams, have players, have pundits at least recognize that he's done a very good job of acclimating himself to a quarterback position on a mainstay team.
I would agree. He has done a great job, and he really has. But I would only say this, is that he is not he needs a little more ingredients in order to get to that next level with the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's and the Rodgers. Because he's just not there right now. Right now, what's keeping them in the game is he's got the players around him.
And that's been my argument throughout this whole year. I just don't think he is good enough.
No.
The defense is a championship defense, but the quarterback position is not championship caliber.
Exactly.
I would definitely agree. And Benny, you know Rex Ryan very well.
Wow.
He's a guy who's called the Colts game. That was personal. The Patriots game, that was personal. He talks trash, but so far to this point, he has backed it up. You know Rex very well. Does some of the things that he does it really fire a team up?
Well, I honestly got to say to you is that Rex is the kind of guy that the guys will go out and just really play balls out because he is that kind of a guy. He's a likable guy to his players. He may not be to the public for what he say, but he is a very likable guy, and whatever he says, his guys either buy into it or they don't. Most of his guys will buy into it because he are who he is, and they go out and play real hard for him.
Right. And then they play very hard for him throughout these playoffs. They definitely play hard for this guy.
Benny, and one other question in regards to Rex Ryan. Talk about, in terms of, you know, his not just his ability to coach, but his ability to turn this Jets team around, and the manner in which he did. I think very little has been paid to the fact that he stepped in with was a defense coordinator, but he's done, I think, one of the best jobs in recent history of making a franchise not just relevant, but they have become a juggernaut now.
Oh, he definitely has went in there and turned that program around. What has he done to do that? I can't pinpoint it right now, but he went out and got the players that he thought that he can sign and brought them in, like a Bart Scott from here at Baltimore, who's one of my favorites, by the way, unless he keep his mouth closed. He went out and got guys that he thought that would fit his system, and that's the number one thing. You go out and you sign guys that fit the system. You don't go out and sign guys just because the guy is available. And I think Rex knows that better than anybody, that you go out and get guys that fit the system and not just because he's available. And I think that's one of the things that Rex has done.
We're talking to Benny Thompson. Benny's been a part of a Super Bowl winning team. Benny's been a Pro Bowler. So we're talking to Benny. We're getting his thoughts on these upcoming games tomorrow. He knows championships, and we're talking championship football. And last time these two teams played, Benny, Troy Polamalu did not play. The Jets got the victory 22-17. Talk about the presence of Polamalu and how that may change the complexion of this particular football game.
Well, if you, Sanchez, you have to be aware of where he is on the field on every snap of the ball. And don't look at where he lines up when you get to the line of scrimmage. It's about where he's at the snap of the football, because he disguised very well. And, and the best thing about Troy is he's a gambler. And he disguised, and being a gambler makes him the great player that he is right now. You have to account for him on every play. You have to know where he's at and where he's lined up at, because he is the X factor in this game as well.
And now, Benny, in my mind, this is a battle of two tough-minded football teams. Looking at the game, in your mind, what is that key to this game? What is the key?
Well, as I said to you just a minute ago, the key to the for the Jets is to be aware of where Sanchez is. I mean, not Sanchez, of where Polamalu is. For Pittsburgh, I think if you can run the ball against the Jets, you can win the football game, which I don't think the Pittsburgh can run the ball against the New York Jets.
And so, Benny, now it's prediction time. How do you see this one playing out? And who will join, as you say, the Chicago Bears in Dallas for Super Bowl 45?
I'm not a big Pittsburgh fan, but I'm going to go out on the limb and say I think Pittsburgh will probably prevail in this one. They have the experience, so I really think Pittsburgh will prevail. Even though I'm not a big Pittsburgh guy, I just think that they will prevail. I think they have the more experience. They've been there before to where the Jets, you know, this is all kind of new to them, you know.
And the Jets are going to the championship game for the second time in the last two seasons, but it's quarterback play to me, and it comes down to quarterbacks, and
Exactly. Defenses
win championships, but quarterbacks do too, and I just think the Steelers have the advantage at the quarterback, and I think that will be enough to carry them home and get them to the Super Bowl. Betty, as always, sir, it was a pleasure having you, and
okay.
We look forward to talking to you down the line, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Okay, I appreciate talking to you guys.
Take care.
Okay,
now.
You too. Okay.
Well, Paul, another fan for your bus club. It does very much seem like the Jets, until I guess they prove that they are able to win these big games consistently, that unlike me, there's going to be a lot of disbelievers.
And we have to, I don't believe, and Benny doesn't believe, and so we got two non-believers, and we'll see how this thing plays out. But right now, there are two non-believers in Benny Thompson, a championship winner in Benny Thompson, a Super Bowl winner in Benny Thompson, and myself. So let me know what you think, anybody. Let's get your thoughts on championship weekend in the NFL. The number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. You can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at goforitgan. Expected to be joined by Stephen A. Smith any moment now. And Stephen, we're going to talk some NBA basketball with him. And we're going to switch gears to the NBA right now. And the whole situation with Carmelo Anthony and that whole thing right now, the Nets came out, Miguel Prokhorov, the Russian billionaire and owner of the New Jersey Nets, came out this past week, Wednesday of this week, and he said, you know what, trade talks are canceled. It's done. We're done. We're out of the business of going after Carmelo Anthony. It's over. We don't want him anymore. Prokhorov came out and said those words, and at that point, the Nets, I guess in all intents and purposes, have moved on. I don't know if I necessarily believe them, but they said it, and I guess they're on record as saying they have moved on. And yesterday, actually, their GM, Billy King, apologized to the team for the trade talk and all the things that came with that. So they apologized. And apparently they have moved on. But it's in my opinion, and it's very obvious to me, Carmelo Anthony wants to be in New York City, not Brooklyn, where the Nets are going to be in the next year or so, but Manhattan at Madison Square Garden. That's where he wants to be. That's where he wants to be. And that's where he's angling to go to. He wants to go there. And now the question is, it's a matter of when. Does it happen now, before the trade deadline in February, or does it happen in the summertime? I mean, that's really what this all comes down to. When does it happen? Is it now or is it later? But the reality of it is Carmelo Anthony is going to be in New York, not Brooklyn, but Manhattan in Madison Square Garden. It's just a matter of time. It could happen today. It could happen in February at the trade deadline, or it could happen in the summertime. But no doubt about it, it will truly happen. Carmelo Anthony will be a Nick at some point. And it should be interesting. I mean, there's been talk that Houston, the Rockets, they want their shot at Carmelo, and they may be interested in essentially renting him for the second half of the season. Now, does that happen? Will that happen? I mean, does Houston take a chance, go after Carmelo, and say to themselves, maybe, hey, if we bring Carmelo Anthony in, we go to possibly go to the playoffs, and at that point in bringing him in, we could possibly make him believe and possibly change his mind and make him want to stay with him. I mean, is that what they want to do? Is that what they want to do? Will they do it that way? I mean, that would be the interesting thing there. That would truly be the interesting thing there. Would Houston be willing to rent Carmelo Anthony? Would Houston be willing to rent him for the second half of the season? And that's something that should be interesting. I say at some point he's obviously going to leave Denver. Now, do the Nuggets just play this thing out, try to make a championship run with this guy, and see what happens? I mean, do they do it that way? I mean, it's just a lot of things that may happen, a lot of things that could happen. But we're going to bring in Stephen A. Smith, and Stephen A. is going to talk about it, and we're going to get his thoughts on this particular situation. And actually now we are being joined by him, and Stephen is ready to go.
We're being joined by the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen, how are you, sir?
What's going on? Good evening. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Stephen, I want to start in the NBA, and I want to start specifically with Carmelo Anthony. New Jersey Nets owner Mikhail Prokhorov told the world that the Nets are moving in a different direction. He canceled the meeting that they had scheduled with Anthony on Thursday, and at this point, the deal is dead from the Nets end. Is this a smokescreen, or have the Nets truly moved on?
Well, they've moved on. Anytime you're talking about a professional basketball team, make no mistake, there's a sucker born every minute, and there's always somebody who can be bought. So nothing is ever dead until it's dead. But when you hear somebody come out in that regard, you got to believe them, because Carmelo Anthony has shown no willingness or no inkling to sign with New Jersey. If Carmelo Anthony wanted to be in New Jersey, he could have been in New Jersey more than about 2 months ago. But he's not anxious to be in New Jersey, because that's not what he desires to do. He wants to play for the New York Knicks. He wants to be in that New York market, not a Newark, New Jersey, or not a year and a half removed from Brooklyn. You combine that with the fact that the New Jersey Nets have had two first-round picks to offer, plus rookie Derek Favors, plus guard Devin Harris, and they still haven't been able to get this done. And that tells you that it's all about Carmelo Anthony, because the Denver Nuggets certainly would be willing to make that deal. And if the deal hasn't been done, it's because Carmelo Anthony has shown reluctance and apprehension with signing with the New Jersey Nets. So I think that in my mind, Prokhorov, more than anything else, was doing what he could to save face, to basically leave the New Jersey Nets with some credibility, as opposed to looking like a desperate franchise chasing one of the top scorers in the game.
But Stephen, don't they still look as desperate as we see them? They lost LeBron, now they lose Carmelo. Who's next for them?
Well, first of all, they didn't lose LeBron. They never had a snowball's chance in hell of getting LeBron. That was not an issue. Everybody knew that. That's number one. Number two, they're on the way up, because last year they were god-awful. This year they're just awful. There's an improvement. So you look at it from that perspective. And then you say to yourself, well, you've got a guard like Devin Harris, who's an all-star caliber guard when he's on his game, even though obviously I would have put him ahead of Rondo, Rose, and Darren Williams, and Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, and those boys. But Devin Harris is no joke. He can play. Brooke Lopez can play. Derek Favors is a decent rookie. When he's focused, he can play. So they've got a couple of nice pieces. And if you look at the fact that they get some coaching, and I'm not saying that Avery Johnson can't coach, but since the players don't like him too much, I think that's a problem for him, and you see it in their play on the field. But ultimately what it comes down to is that the Nets are not very good at all, but they're not a joke either. And if you're looking at it from that standpoint, they've got four draft picks in the next 2 years. They can improve. They can be better. There's hope for the franchise down the line. There's a lot of franchises you can't say that about.
And Stephen, the way I look at this Carmelo situation, in my mind, in the Western Conference, you have the Lakers, a team that there is some vulnerability there. You have the Spurs. Spurs are playing very well, but you got Tim Duncan, who's getting a little older. And you have Dallas in their situation. They lost Caron Butler. So there's a little struggle there right now. But in my mind, for Carmelo Anthony, his best opportunity to me to win a championship is to stay out west, because you got LeBron in Miami and the rest of the big three. You got Dwight Howard in Orlando, and you got Boston. So in my mind, his best chance to win a championship is in the Western Conference.
Is the problem what you're thinking? You're making sense. And you're thinking about basketball. Basketball and making sense have very little to do with what's going on here. Carmelo Anthony, more than 3 years ago, was hanging with his boys, Chris Bosh, D-Wade, and LeBron James. All at the same time, had an opportunity to sign three-year deals with an opt-out after that third year. They all took it. Carmelo Anthony, on the other hand, told me to my face on national television, "Yo, dog, I was born in New York. I was raised in Baltimore. I ain't turning down $80 million. So he took the $80 million over 5 years with no opt-out before then, rather than take the 3 years with an opt-out after last season. As a result, he watched LeBron and D-Wade and Bosh end up in Miami. He knows that their marketing deal off the court has put them in a position where they can make a boatload of money, because their products produced in China are generating revenue at a 15% higher rate than that in the United States. So he's looking at, how can I market myself and get some of this shine that these other brothers are getting? They're in South Beach. Kobe's in L.A. D-Rose and Boozer are in Chicago. Where can I go? New York City. That's what this is all about. It's not about, oh, can I win a championship? Certainly one is a part of it, and you want to try to win more games and put yourself closer to a championship. But just as pivotal is being in the mix where you're competing, where you're mentioned in the conversation. It's Boston.
Right.
It's Miami. It's Orlando. And, oh, if Melo ends up in New York with Amari, it's New York, too. If you have that going on, then you position yourself not only to be successful on the basketball court, but to be successful marketing-wise on Madison Avenue. And, oh, by the way, you can take care of the wife, Lala, along the way with her reality TV gig.
And to me right now, Steve, it's pretty obvious, like you said, that Melo wants to play in Madison Square Garden, not in Brooklyn. And at this point, does he finish out the season with Denver, or do they come up with some kind of deal? There's been talk of Houston maybe renting him for the season. How do you see this thing playing out?
I don't see any way in hell that he finishes out the season with Denver, because Denver will be too petrified that they'll lose him for close to nothing, if not nothing altogether, in the event that, you know, they allow him to become a free agent. That's on their end. On Melo's end, his concern is going to be the impending NBA lockout. If there is indeed a lockout, and I'm here to assure you there will be, the NBA will lock out the players as of July 1st, barring a miracle, then what happens is all bets are off. There are no negotiations going on. And that three-year, $65 million deal that Denver had on the table for Melo all of this time suddenly becomes null and void. And since he doesn't know what the new collective bargaining agreement will stipulate, he doesn't know if he'll be in a position to collect that money down the line. You have to remember that when they agreed to these deals, some of these contracts were grandfathered. But if you're talking about a three-year, $65 million extension, fellas, that's averaging over $20 million a year. But understand
right.
that according to the collective bargaining agreement, there is a maximum limit on player salaries. You know, and players don't get paid $20 million unless their contracts are grandfathered. If you get a new collective bargaining agreement that doesn't allow for contracts to be grandfathered, then the contracts he had in the past will be rendered null and void. They'll operate specifically under new rules, which will probably involve a salary cap, which will most definitely involve a maximum limit on players' salaries, and then all anybody will have to offer him is less than what he's making now. So that's all problematic, which lends towards him going someplace where he can make a deal immediately and sign an extension, and he's not going to do that in Denver.
And Steven, right now, we are at the midpoint of the NBA season. I want to start out west now. You have Boston, record-wise, who's at the top of the conference, followed by Miami, Atlanta, and Chicago. We know Boston is the best team record-wise in the Eastern Conference. But looking at the Eastern Conference, with Chicago there, with Miami there, with Orlando, the new-look Orlando Magic, is Boston the best team in the East, and who is the best team in the East?
Yes, they are. Plain and simple, nothing to discuss. They're the best team in the East.
Even with the new-look Orlando Magic.
Who gives a damn? The fact is that Orlando has a chance to be better than the Boston Celtics, but right now they're not better because, number one, Dwight Howard still gets in foul trouble. He still doesn't hit free throws. And defensively, as a team, they struggle. They are certainly more potent than they were before with Gilbert Arenas and Jason Richardson and Hedo Turkoglu. There's no doubt about that. And they couldn't beat anybody when they're on their game. And they are more formidable than ever before. But the reality is that collectively, as a team unit, they are not better than the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics have too much beef, too much size, too much shooting, too much experience, and superior guard play than they do. And that's what it really comes down to.
But who can they lose, Stephen? Who can Boston will have an injury. They're veteran players. Who can they lose and still be this competitive?
Well, they can't lose Rondo. They can't do that. They can't lose Ray Allen and Pierce. You can possibly lose one of them. You can't lose both. And I'd say you can't lose either one of them. I base my predictions on health. I mean, obviously, when people get injured, all bets are off. I don't really worry about what's going to happen when somebody gets injured. Hell, if the Lakers lose Kobe, what are they going to do? If San Antonio loses Tim Duncan, what are they going to do? If Oklahoma City loses Kevin Durant, what the hell are they going to do? If Utah loses Darren Williams, what are they going to do? If Miami loses D-Wade or LeBron, what the hell are they going to do? Everybody, if they lose somebody injury-wise, is going to suffer. We all know that. I make my predictions based on who's healthy. To answer your direct question, I think the most pivotal person that the Boston Celtics absolutely cannot afford to lose is KG, because he's the spiritual and emotional leader, and he's also their voice on defense. This dude plays D. He calls out assignments. He keeps guys hyped and motivated. He does it all.
I don't know, Stephen. I think when this Orlando team, when this thing comes together, I think they are going to compete, and I think they are going to contend with the Boston Celtics. I really like.
Well, you can say that. You can say that, but you're saying if they come together. I'm telling you, until they do, Boston's already together. So you got to show. You got to show and prove. All right, when? We all hope. Hope is what makes the world go round. But I got to wait and see, because I'm not sold on that yet. Because again, even with all that guard play, what if Dwight Howard does what he always does, and that's get in foul trouble? What they going to do?
That's definitely a problem. That's definitely a problem, but I think at some point Otis Smith knows he has to address it, and I think he will find a way to address it.
Well, let me ask you this question. How long is it going to take? Is it happening for 4 years? What the hell does he do? Does he need Santa Claus to come and give him a Christmas gift? I mean, what does he need to do?
I mean, well, he had Gortat in place, which is a legitimate backup center. But
come
at
on,
this point, after the trade, they definitely need a backup side. But I think he'll find a way to get it done.
I'm not here to debate with you on a Friday night, my brother. All I can tell you is that we were talking about championship stuff, and you just brought up that and Gortat in the same sentence. There's nothing to discuss.
Keep it moving, Paul. But let's go out west. Let's go out west, Stephen. Right now you have the Lakers, who many thought would go to the finals with no problems. But right now you have those San Antonio Spurs, 36-6, and they're doing their thing out west. Is it safe to say at this point that the Spurs are the best team in the West?
Yes, they are. They're playing the best basketball, but more importantly, Greg Popovich is doing an outstanding job of preserving a Tim Duncan, unleashing Manu Ginobili, controlling Tony Parker, and putting the other pieces around both of them, and we can't ignore Richard Jefferson either. So definitely San Antonio is a formidable foe. They're not a team to be ignored because they have a championship pedigree. They've got a future Hall of Famer in Tim Duncan. They've got one of the more prolific competitors in Manu Ginobili. When he's on his game, he causes everybody problems. And they've got good point guard play. But when Andrew Bynum is healthy, he's the difference maker for the Los Angeles Lakers because they're just too long for everybody else. And I think that's enough for the Lakers combined with the Black Mamba to be all right and to get back to the finals.
And plus, you want to go to L.A. for the finals, not San Antonio anyway.
No doubt about it. My social life is very, very important to me. I have no interest in visiting the Riverwalk.
And we got to talk about the exciting rookie, Blake Griffin. He's averaging 22 points, 12 boards a game. The Clippers are playing well after a horrid 1-13 start. Steven, how good is this guy?
He's a superstar athlete. He's not a superstar player, but he's a superstar athlete. He can jump out of the gym. He's ambidextrous. He's athletic. He's got an NBA body. He's powerful. He can't be pushed around. He's a sensational athlete. There doesn't even deserve to be a runner-up for Rookie of the Year. He's phenomenal. The problem is he's got to work on his jump shot. He's got to work on his free throw shooting, because teams are going to lay off him and dare him to shoot the J, and they're going to foul him. And he's going to have to figure out a way to get around that. And the only way he can do it is by working on his outside shooting and his free throw shooting. If he gets those pieces together, he's just an unstoppable force. I don't think he can be reckoned with. But he's got – and I will tell you this, too. He's made the Clippers arguably more exciting in L.A. than the Lakers. I mean, this kid is that exciting. So it's going to be really interesting. And by the way, let's not sleep on Eric Gordon. He's a bad boy. So all of those things considered, Blake Griffin is a stud. He's a stud. And we'll see what he does, and we'll see how much he develops. But he's worth the price of admission. I can tell you that much.
And now, Stephen, I want to move to Allen Iverson now. There were reports last week that he was set to retire. His manager, Gary Moore, came out and denied those reports. No one in the NBA wanted to touch this guy. At this point, is it essentially over for AI?
I don't want to say that because I don't want to count him out. I love the brother personally. I've known him for many years. He's very, very upset with me right now, and obviously so, and he has every right to feel that way. But what I said was true, and I'll say it again. He hasn't taken care of his body. And as a result of that, he's lost several steps, some would say. And his game was predicated on quickness. When you combine that with the fact that he wasn't the easiest guy to deal with, pushing his own self out of Detroit by criticizing Michael Curry and questioning Joe Dumars, even though he really wasn't questioning Joe Dumars directly, but indirectly, that's what he ended up doing. Cursing out Lionel Hollins for his short stint in Memphis that lasted just 3 regular season games. And then coming back to Philly, where he was a model citizen by all accounts, but clearly not the player he used to be. It's just,
right.
it's a tough thing to witness, but it's a lesson for all of us out here. When you don't take care of your body, when you don't get in that gym, when you don't work out, when you put things in your body, you know, like you're a professional athlete, but you're drinking alcohol, you know, that's a problem. And that's what happened to him. I hope to God he gets a second chance. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm not completely objective when it comes to him. I got a lot of love for him. And any time that I got to, you know, criticize him in any way, it really breaks my heart because I got a lot of love for that brother. But I got a job to do. And when you do the things that he's done to decimate his career, it's a truly, truly sad sight to see. And I'm afraid that's what he's done. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid that's what he's done.
Stephen, you brought up an interesting point about, you know, using Allen Iverson as an example of maybe what not to do. But does anyone in the NBA today, do they look at him and say, like you had just mentioned, maybe we should stay home more, maybe we should practice more, not, you know, glorify this lifestyle more?
Well, first of all, in fairness to Allen Iverson and so many of these professional athletes, we don't want to have the compassion to say that they have a hard life, but you actually do, because money isn't the answer to anything, to everything. In fact, sometimes money's the cause of the problem, because the people that you love and you want to look out for don't want to let go of you because you're their cash cow. And sometimes that pressure combined with marriage, combined with fatherhood, combined with all of those things, the cumulative effect of all of those things are sometimes too much for any of us to bear. When I had to be critical of Allen Iverson last March, you know, people are talking about, you know, he's an alcoholic and this and that. I never said that. What I said was you have people out there who were concerned that he was going to drink himself to death because they saw him partying and drinking. It was metaphorically alluding to the fact that he had a lifestyle that they didn't think was conducive to him remaining a marquee NBA athlete. Not that he was sitting in some hole in the wall drinking all the time. It was about a lifestyle that wasn't conducive to him being the star that he had always been. So most people are, despite how they know how to party and how they know how to, you know, have a good time and how late they want to hang out or what have you, have a filter. They have something that tells them to put it on pause. We got to continue to make this paper. We got to continue to do what we need to do to be as successful as we can be. Allen Iverson's problem is that he had no filter. He didn't know how to stop. And ultimately, Father Tom came knocking on his door and said, damn that, you're human like everybody else. You can't continue to do what you've been doing if you want to be the elite athlete that you once were. Kobe Bryant gets up at 5:30 in the morning, y'all. Kobe Bryant, even after he wins championships, takes 2 weeks off, and then he's back in the gym in July. This is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That kind of dedication, you don't teach. But I wish to God that Allen Iverson had learned it.
And at this point, Stephen, with all the money that he's earned throughout his career, and there have been reports that he had some financial issues, which he denied, at this point, have you heard anything of possible financial issues with Allen Iverson?
I've heard those stories. I don't have any confirmation on it, and I got to be honest with you. Despite the things that I've written, even if I knew that, I don't think I would tell anybody. I think the guy's been through enough. I think that, you know, he suffered enough. I certainly never meant for him to suffer. I wanted him to get everything straight. I want him to come back, man, and average 20. I want him to go out as a future Hall of Famer the way that he deserves to go out. But the fact is that who knows what kind of problems that he's had. I personally believe his biggest problem is Gary Moore, his manager. And I think that the reason why Gary Moore is mad, I would never accuse Gary Moore of not caring about him. A matter of fact, I'll go in the opposite direction And I said this to a station in Virginia Beach. Gary Moore's problem is not that he does not care about Allen. Gary Moore's problem is that he cares about Allen too much. So much so that he plays the role of enabler time and time again. He will lie. He will cheat. He will do whatever he has to do that he believes protects Allen Iverson. The problem is his definition of protection on a lot of occasions is something that's to Allen Iverson's detriment, not to his benefit. I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know to this day whether or not Allen Iverson's daughter was ever ill. If he says she's ill, I'm going to take him at his word. But it wasn't Allen Iverson out front and center propping up the fact that his daughter was ill. It was Gary Moore who was doing that. Now, later, in the aftermath of all of that, we learned that when Gary Moore was busy telling us all along that it was just his daughter, that his daughter was ill, it was then we found out that Allen Iverson's wife had filed for divorce courtesy of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who had reported it before anybody. So my point to y'all is, once that cat was out the bag, it provoked questions as to whether or not Allen Iverson and Gary Moore were telling the truth about Allen Iverson's daughter. And because people began questioning whether or not that was true, ultimately it shined a spotlight on how his tenure in Detroit ended, how his tenure in Memphis ended, how his tenure in Philly ended, and ultimately bringing to culmination the state of his career and how it had all gone awry, which gave reference and precedence and elevated substance to my story about all that had gone on with Allen Iverson in terms of his lifestyle, because that's when people begin to put the piece together and say, all right, this doesn't make sense. If Gary Moore doesn't open his big fat mouth and tell folk about Allen Iverson's daughter being ill, then none of that would have mattered. But because he kept throwing that in people's face to make excuses for practices, late practices, and his play and all of this other stuff, whether Allen Iverson was telling the truth or not, everybody assumed he was lying. That wasn't because of Allen Iverson opening his mouth. That was because of Gary Moore opening his mouth, because he thought he was protecting Allen Iverson. And if you look through the course of Allen Iverson's career, it is usually trouble because of what Gary Moore says, not because of what Allen Iverson says.
And so essentially you're saying that he would benefit from a little tough love.
I'm saying he would benefit from tough love and relegating Gary Moore to a friendship status and leaving the professional advice to professionals.
Okay. And I think, judging by what you said, I think that's probably good advice for AI. Real quickly now, Stephen, you are a New York native. You're originally from Queens. So I'm assuming you're a big-time Jets fan.
No, I'm not. I am a New York fan. But I'm also a diehard Steelers fan, believe it or not. So I got trouble this weekend.
And with that being said now, Stephen, how do you see this upcoming AFC Championship game?
Man, I'm like Magic Johnson when he was predicting the Julio Cesar Chavez versus Pernell Whitaker fight years and years ago, when he was like, Chavez is bad, but Pernell Whitaker's my boy. And, you know, Chavez and those body shots, but Pernell Whitaker's my boy. That's how I feel about the Steelers. I love the Steelers. They're some bad boys, and I've always been a diehard Steelers fan since I was a child. But I'm a New Yorker, and I never, ever go against my New Yorkers. So I got to stay neutral on this one. It's a rare moment in the history of my career, but I got to remain neutral because I've been a diehard Steelers fan all my life.
Wow. This is a guy who always takes a stand.
That's right.
He's decided to go neutral tonight. Neutral.
But not with Chicago and Green Bay. I'm picking Green Bay.
Okay, okay.
Ooh.
Okay, so you're not neutral there. But, I mean, how does it happen? I mean, you're a New Yorker. How does a New Yorker end up liking the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I was 5 years old, and I watched...
Who brainwashed you?
I was 5 years old, and I was watching TV, and I watched Terry Bradshaw throw a pass to his wide receiver. He got popped by Jack Tatum or somebody. It fell into the arms of Franco Harris, and he ran down the left sideline. It's called to this day the Immaculate Reception. That is the first football play that I ever saw, and it was of the black and gold, and I've been in love with the black and gold in football ever since.
Wow. And Steve, where can we find some of your work or what you're doing now?
You will know about that in a matter of days. I'm not at liberty to say, but within a week, within the next 4 or 5 days, everybody will know where I will be at next.
So Stephen A. definitely will be back.
Yo, no doubt about that.
Stephen A., thank you for stopping by, sir. It was greatly appreciated, and we were looking forward to that big announcement next week.
No problem, man. Y'all take care, man. Good luck with all y'all do. Keep your head up and keep doing what you do, fellas.
Take care,
thank you, sir. Take care.
All right.
The one, the only, Stephen A. Smith. And, Stephen's back. He's coming back. He has an announcement next week, and we'll definitely see where Stephen is going to be. But there's no doubt about it. The man is just an entertaining individual, and he brings it each and every time. I mean, it was definitely interesting talking to the one and the only, Stephen A. Smith. If you have any thoughts on what you heard with Stephen, the numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Expect to be joined by in the next few minutes a big-time Jets fan, and a wonderful actor in Ruben Santiago Hudson. Ruben plays on the ABC hit series Castle. He's a big Jets fan. He was here once before. We had to bring him back to talk about his New York Jets. This is an exciting time for anybody that's a Jets fan. And Ruben Santiago Hudson is a big-time Jets fan. And so it should be great. It should be interesting. It should be fun to talk to Ruben Santiago Hudson and get his particular thoughts on the big game tomorrow.
And maybe finally Ruben, somebody that will start agreeing with me and making some sense to you or for you.
Well, I mean, if that makes sense to you, it makes sense to you, but as far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't make much sense in terms of Mark Sanchez. Your boy, Mark Sanchez, your guy, for whatever reason, you have champion his cause, and for whatever reason, you're one of the members of the Mark Sanchez fan club. Well, I'm not, and I don't think I ever will be, at least not at this stage of his career. I may at some point down the line, but at this stage of his career, I am not a fan in terms of him being a championship caliber quarterback. Not at this stage of his career. Benny Thompson, a Super Bowl winning safety, a Pro Bowl on special teams. He knows football, and Benny Thompson, he agrees with me. And great minds think alike. And so we see Mark Sanchez, and we see a guy who, at this point of his career, is not championship caliber. Not championship caliber. He may at some point, but not right now. But again, that's your boy. That is your boy, and you're going to ride with your boy.
Well, I mean,
you're definitely going to ride with your boy, but I'm not.
Well,
I'm not going to ride with your boy.
I'm not riding with your boy.
But I don't think anybody's asking you to ride with my boy. I mean, me or anybody in the Jets organization is worried about disbelievers. I think, again, Paul, I look at that team and I see a young enough team where you have a lot of components. Even probably one of the more veteran players on the offense, that's a superstar in Santonio Holmes. I mean, the guy is not terribly old. And look at their defense, Bart Scott. Still has plenty of football left in him. I mean, their cornerback, Darrelle Revis, I mean, arguably is right now in the prime of his career. You know, I wonder where or when you're going to say at some point you have to give them the credit that they at least deserve.
I never said that the Jets as a team weren't a championship. Defensively, they are championship caliber. Yes, they are. They have some pieces on the offense in terms of I like their wideouts. I like their backfield situation. I like their offensive line. And I like their tight end. But I don't like their quarterback. And so with that being said, since I don't like their quarterback and since I don't think their quarterback is championship caliber, and I don't know how many times I have to repeat this, but I feel like I have to repeat this and say this over and over again. Yes. Defenses win championships, but quarterbacks do too. And in terms of quarterback play, Aaron Rodgers, championship caliber quarterback. I'll even say Jay Cutler to this point has played very well and has shown the potential and shown the ability that possibly he could get his team to the Super Bowl. And I think they will get to the Super Bowl. I like the Bears tomorrow. And, of course, Big Ben Roethlisberger, of course, he's a championship quarterback. He's done it two times, and he might do it a third. But he definitely will get to a third Super Bowl starting tomorrow. Game starts at 6:30, around 9:30. We will see Big Ben. We will see the Terrible Towels. And we will see the Pittsburgh Steelers celebrate as they make a return to the Super Bowl. That's what will happen. Your boy Mark Sanchez.
Well, that's what will happen, comma, in Paul Gant's opinion. Right, Paul? I mean, unless you're stepping out of your box again and you're going to mention that you're a prophet.
Oh, well, I'm not a prophet, but I play one on the radio. And I'm playing one right now on the radio. And in terms of that,
so that's it. You're coming out and you're saying the prophet Paul Gant,
at least on the radio, which I play one on the radio, believes that the Pittsburgh Steelers, when it's all said and done, come 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, will be in Super Bowl 45 in the beautiful and the lovely Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, Texas. That's what's going to happen. The prophet on the radio has spoken.
Well, all I'm going to tell you is that's amazing, considering you prophet it wrong. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, let's remind everyone the prophet was wrong, mistaken in first the NBA Finals, second in the World Series, and I I'm going to tell you right now, third year. So, keep in mind, it was L.A.J. Who told you don't root for the Lakers. Or, I'm sorry, don't root for Boston. Root for the Lakers. And then it was Bay Area Yespy. And now, I'm going to tell you, Paul, I'm in a New York frame of mind. I'm going back to the East Coast after two stints on the West Coast.
Well, you've spent time in the West Coast, but let's be clear about your prediction so everyone is not in the dark. This man predicted, the Lakers, I'll give him that. He predicted it. Good job. But this man predicted that the San Francisco Giants would beat the Phillies while they were up 3-2.
Now, you want to call that a profit, or do you want to call that some guy profiting from knowledge, profiting from a 3-2 lead? That's what I call it. I don't call this man a prophet. I call a guy an opportunist in a lot of ways. And so, yes, it's great to be a great predictor and a prognosticator. It's great to be that when your team is up 3-2. Anybody can do that.
But, Paul, let's keep it real. I told you all NBA playoffs long that, unfortunately, the Lakers were not going to be stopped. In terms of the Bay Area Yesby stuff, that was traditionally and truly started by you. In the preseason,
well, I mean, yes, it was started by me, and I'm keeping it going. I'm definitely keeping it going because I believe that took advantage of a situation where a team was up 3-2, and you made a prediction. Whoop-dee-doo.
Did you turn off my mic, Paul?
I didn't touch anything.
But
judging by some of the crazy things you said, maybe I should have muted you. I mean, maybe I was in my right mind for muting you.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
I mean, so you're now going to sit here and you're calling it. This is Pittsburgh. You are. What's the score going to be, Paul?
Well, the prophet Paul Gant, at least that's what he plays on the radio, has it. The Pittsburgh Steelers winning this football game 23-20.
Wow. That means
Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean,
So you're basically, but for all the talk you're talking, though, you're basically, this is to you neck and neck, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, 23-20 is a very close game. That's you're not exactly, you're not at 23-10 or 24-14. You're basically going to say this is going to be a close game, a hard-fought game. By no means because to me, if what you're saying is Sanchez sucks, Pittsburgh is just that good, then it should be more like a 30-10 game. I was figuring you'd say or 27-17, where the score is not going to be within 3 points.
It's going to be a close game. I mean, the Jets are a good football team. They're a very good football team. And they are in the AFC title game for a reason. And I just don't think they're good enough to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, which they have done in the regular season. I just don't think in this particular football game, number one, I don't think the Steelers are going to lose twice at home to the New York Jets in one season. I don't think that's going to happen. I just can't see that happening. And number two, both of these teams are tough. But Mike Tomlin, he's tough. I mean, Rex gets all the pub and all the publicity because he talks a lot. But let's not forget that Mike Tomlin is a Super Bowl winning coach and a very, very good coach. Let's not forget that. But anyway, with that being said, Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, I like that combination. Two tough-minded guys who I think, when it's all said and done, these two tough-minded guys will get it done for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Ben it comes down to plays and making plays. I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to make the necessary plays. I don't think Mark Sanchez at this stage of his career can make enough plays on this championship stage to allow the New York Jets to win. I just don't think he can do it.
just don't think he can do it. You can believe it if you want, but I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe at all. Now, if you want to believe, then go ahead and believe. But your boy Mark Sanchez is not good enough at this stage of his career.
Here's what we're going to see on Sunday. In that regard, I think there's unequivocally now it's coming to a head. And you've been wrong all season with respect to the Jets, Paul. You have no real it's a personal bias. You have no statistical backdrop. It's literally all season for you. And again, for the listeners to keep in mind. And that's why I say to listen to a prognosticator, a great prognosticator, such as myself, I want to warn everyone out there, Paul's arguments are, they sound great because they're very emotional. And that is what the American, the American citizen, or dare I say the American idiot, is founded on, is emotion. No statistics or no reason, just your emotion.
All right, so listen, you want some reason? You want some reason? Number one. First time these two teams played, Troy Polamalu did not play. A game changer for the Steelers defense. He's a game changer. He wasn't there the first time around. Guess what? He's there this time around. He is there, and with him being there, it's going to change some things. He's a dominant player. He's a game changer, if you will. He is that guy. Number two, if you want some more facts and or statistics, Ben Roethlisberger, 9-2 as a starter in the playoffs. 9-2. This guy has done it. And he's been to the mountaintop two times. He's been there twice, and he's won it twice. And if you remember the last time he was there against the Arizona Cardinals, that last drive, he rode his team down the field and made the clutch pass to Santonio Holmes, which won the game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And well, I can go back as late as last week when he let them down against the Baltimore Ravens, big-time drive, and it was the game-winning drive. So that is clutch, and Ben Roethlisberger is a clutch quarterback, and he has done it. He has done it. And he will continue to do it, and he will do it tomorrow. No doubt about it. Also, last time these two teams played, Rashad Mendenhall had close to 100 yards rushing, 117 carries, pretty much 5 yards a clip. Again, another reason why. The Pittsburgh Steelers will win this game tomorrow. Also, finally, your boy, Mark Sanchez. His inability, in my opinion, to be able to make the play when it matters most will be the reason. He will not be able to make enough plays for his New York Jets to win this particular football game. And that's what it's going to come down to. Both of these defenses are good. There's a lot of talent in the skill positions. The coaches are there, both top-notch coaches. But it comes down to quarterback play. And when I look at the quarterbacks, I look at Ben Roethlisberger with a decided advantage, a championship pedigree, a championship quarterback, and a guy who will get it done tomorrow on the big stage in Pittsburgh, and he will return to the Super Bowl for the third time in his career, illustrious championship career. Say what you will about the guy. Talk about his off-the-field issues. At the end of the day, he wins. And he's won a lot in this league.
absolutely, you know, I told you, if anything, it is Roethlisberger that scares me the most, you know, regards to the Steelers. And I think he's more than anybody, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about, you know, Pittsburgh races third down or hit rate two down all that well. But he, in some regards, scares me because I really believe he has a lot to prove during this playoffs, mainly because of the offseason. I think it was for him, it may have been, you know, this might have given him something to prove. This may be, unfortunately, what you don't want, which is a guy that's got a chip on his shoulders if you're the Jets. But all that being said, I'm still going to tell you, you can go on and on and on, Paul, about every player on the Steelers, but Jets have been getting it done all season long. And defensively, Paul, I mean, honestly, they have yet to truly put together, in my opinion, a total game. They have. I keep saying that to you.
And so, will they put together a total game tomorrow? You said.
Well, I think if they're going to do it, it's going to be tomorrow. Rex Ryan, if he's smart, I told you, this is their Super Bowl. This is their big game. It's not in a week or 2 weeks from tomorrow, because in a week or 2 weeks from tomorrow, they're playing the NFC representative, which to me is not indicative of a Super Bowl winner. A Super Bowl winner is coming from the AFC.
And I agree with you, but I think only if the Pittsburgh Steelers win the AFC title game, which I think they will.
Well, so Paul, wait. So you're going so far as to say you're saying even if the Jets somehow surprise the world, shock the world, and beat Pittsburgh, they stand no chance against either the Bears or the Packers?
Well, I think they'll be playing the Bears, and of course they have a chance. But last time these two teams, if we look at the Bears and Jets, last time those two teams met up, the Chicago Bears, if you remember, went up and down the field on the New York Jets. They actually won that game 38-31. They went up and down the field on the New York Jets.
But I remember that.
New York Jets defense. The vaunted New York Jets defense. That vaunted New York Jets defense. They went up and down the field on them. Up and down the field on them. Had no problems going up and down the field. No problems whatsoever. None. Up and down the field they went. It had no problems.
So it's basically head-to-head is all that matters in Paul's world. I mean, you can't, in a 16-game season, have a hiccup, and it happened to be on a head-to-head matchup.
No, I mean, a head-to-head does matter. If we want to look at head-to-head, you have to say that the New York Jets.
But it matters for
a blowout,
especially for a blowout.
Well, I mean, and you refer the Jets-Bears game wasn't a blowout, but, I mean, the Bears were able to move the ball up and down the football field on that vaunted New York Jets defense without any problems, actually, without any problems whatsoever. No problems whatsoever. They went up and down the field. Up and down the field without any problems whatsoever. And, I mean, it doesn't even matter anyway. Because the reality of it is, the Chicago Bears will win. And the reality of it is, if the Pittsburgh Steelers win, so the Jets won't be there anyway. So it's a kind of a moot point.
Well, I don't. You're going to continue your hate, and that's fine. But honestly, Paul, I think at some point the reality does matter because I mean they're playing Pittsburgh tomorrow. So, and they have in the playoffs. You have unfortunately had to mention this. They have in the playoffs been playing their best football. They're priming at the right time.
You mean the New York Jets?
Yeah,
they're playing some good football. I mean, they beat Mark Sanchez, they beat Manning, and he did go and beat Brady. But now can he pull off the hat trick?
And I say, no, he does not. He does not pull off the hat trick and beat Big Ben, Manning, and Brady. This is where the fun ends for the New York Jets. And I saw in New York that the skyline was lit up. I believe it was green and white. I saw a guy making green bagels. And so New York is loving the New York Jets right now. New York is definitely loving the New York Jets right now. But if you look at it, New York has always been a Giants town, not a Jets town. But when Rex stepped on the scene, New York has become a Jet city. New York has become Jets city right now. And I'm going to love it because you know how I feel about New York City. I lived there for 2 years, one of the two worst years of my life. And, so anytime a New York team can lose and will lose, it brings a cheer to my life, I mean, all these great things about my time in New York was the lovely woman and my lovely wife. But everything else in New York City, it stunk. And so I look forward to what may happen tomorrow and what will happen tomorrow as the Pittsburgh Steelers do what they have to do. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Pittsburgh Steelers, get it done and go on to the Super Bowl. And I don't have to hear about Mark Sanchez or the New York Jets, Rex Ryan or the New York Jets, Bart Scott screaming like Hulk Hogan and the New York Jets. I don't have to hear about them no more. And that, to me, is music to my ears. That is music to my ears. And say what you will about Ben Roethlisberger and what he's done off the field. The guy is clutch. The guy gets it done. He's a baller. He is a baller. He's clutch. He gets it done. And I believe that he will get it done again.
It's great to listen to this, I have a tear, I'm nauseous at the same time because it sounds like a man that has a dream. But, I mean, the Steelers haven't been that impressive, Paul. I mean, they're a good team. They play well in the playoffs again, but it's shocking to see how one-sided your argument is. You have given the Jets no credit for what they have done and what they've accomplished yet. You're annoying.
I believe I said earlier in this particular show, Mark Sanchez, say what you will, he's won 4 playoff games. All on the road. 4-1 in the playoffs, and all 4 of his victories on the road. Impressive. Can't take anything away from the guy. I can't, and I won't. He's impressive. I said that. I gave him his credit. I said that. But, and I also gave him credit for going into New England and going into Indianapolis and beating 2 very good football teams, especially the New England Patriots. The 14-2 New England Patriots. With Tom Brady, 36 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, New England Patriots, excuse me. I gave them credit for what they did. I gave them credit, tons of credit, a lot of credit. Give them all the credit in the world. But, with all that being said, all the credit that I've given them, they're not going to get it done tomorrow. They're not going to get it done. Tomorrow. It won't happen tomorrow. It may happen down the line for Mark Sanchez because I think he's going to be a very good quarterback.
Not according to you. Let's keep it real, Paul. He's not a winner. You've said it. he's not a winner. He's, you know, he's not a winner.
I didn't say he's not a winner.
I said
well, if I said it, then let me clarify. I said at this stage of his career, Mark Sanchez is a game manager, and at this stage of his career, the Jets' defense is a Super Bowl caliber defense. But guess what? The receivers, talented. The running backs, talented. The tight end, talented. The offensive line, talented. But the guy who touches the ball every single play on the offensive side of football, a guy who was sailing passes in that Indianapolis Colts game, very wild in that game, and a guy who benefited, if you want to go back to that game, who benefited from Antonio Cromartie's kickoff return, which actually put him in position and put his team in position to ultimately win that game and get that field goal by Nick Falk to ultimately win that game. But so I just think at this point of his career, I mean, we can argue back and forth about it till we're all blue in the face. It might be very hard for you to become blue in the face because of your skin complexion, but we can go back and forth till we're blue in the face. But the reality of this situation is, not yet. It's just not your time, Mark Sanchez. It's just not your time. Rex, it's not your time. Cromartie, not your time. It's just not your time. Bart Scott, it's not your time. Sean Ellis, it is not your time.
Can you stop? Can you please? I mean, really, Paul. I mean, Paul Gann, it's not your time. Really? God. How are you going to come on the air next week and apologize? And then what is your excuse going to be next week? Because you really didn't talk. We never really talk about how Paul was saying it wasn't their time last week, and you were so, you know, infatuated with how it wasn't their time last week. When are you going
to... Well, I mean, my Super Bowl prediction did blow up in my face. I had the Patriots and Eagles in the Super Bowl. Well, that blew up. That kind of messed up the first week of the playoffs when the Eagles went out to the Green Bay Packers, and then it blew up the second. And then it just really just all went haywire and really blew up that second week of the playoffs. So, I mean, yes, I made some predictions. The first week I was 3-for-4. I did call the prophet Paul Gant did call the Seattle victory over the New Orleans Saints. I called that. But I was three. The first week I won 3 out of 4 games. The second week didn't do too well. I won 1 out of 4 games. But this week I think I'm going to win both. I think I'm going to go undefeated 2-0.
It's good that you're. It's good you're conservative, Paul. I mean, you know, it's good you. It's good to know that you know, you always give yourself the benefit of the doubt. You know, you only think you're going to win.
Well, I mean, if you believe it, if you predict it, you might as well think it'll happen, right? Well, we were supposed to be joined by Ruben Santiago Hudson, but at this time, we heard from this publicist. We were supposed to be joined by him today, but I guess at this time he knows the inevitable fate of his New York Jets tomorrow, and so I guess he didn't want to call in as well. But anyway, we definitely had a good show today. It was a pleasure being joined by Benny Thompson, and it also was a pleasure to be joined by the one, the only Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A. Smith. We'll have a big announcement in the next week or so, and concerning his future. It should be interesting to see where Stephen A. Smith will be come next week. And I'm looking forward to it, the announcement, and it should be interesting. And I hope the world is looking forward to the announcement. But the world will see tomorrow that Mark Sanchez isn't good enough, that Ben Roethlisberger is good enough, and that Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers will go on to win the Super Bowl and also go on to make it to the Super Bowl. I said win the Super Bowl, but I'm going to get back to me on that in a couple of weeks. I'll let you know about that. So we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank everybody who called. And, again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PKN, where you can listen to this show and other great, great shows. For my co-host, Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gant.